Everybody, welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, talking about money for the financially single woman, entrepreneurship, and just creating your best life. Hi, guys. I know there are guys who listen to the show as well. Anyway, today's episode I'm going to have a lot of fun with because I'm talking about if you're going to go to FinCon 2020. I actually work a pretty specific strategy for attending larger events like FinCon, Podcast Movement, Social Media Marketing World, any of those large events that you are attending. Of course, there's a billion other ones out there. I had a hiccup, sorry, that you might be attending. Then the strategies that I share in this episode will be valid for you. I'm specifically talking about FinCon 2020 in this episode because we are a few weeks, at the time that I'm recording this, it's a few weeks after the end of the 2019 event. People had an amazing time. It was a lot of fun seeing the recaps and the tweets and the dance party. I wasn't there. I haven't attended since Dallas, which was in 2017. I had an incredible time that year. It was weirdly cold for Dallas. I don't know why it was so cold, but I had an amazing time. And when I was in Dallas, I was like, I'm not returning until I have the results that I've been working towards, which apparently is going to be the case. So I'm in the process of working on my strategy for FinCon 2020. And I want to kind of talk to you about how I do what I do and how it can help you, hopefully, with what you're doing in the upcoming year. I work a year-long strategy. I'll refer to that a couple of times throughout the show. FinCon is one of my favorite professional events of the year. I actually remember attending for the first time in Denver, Colorado. It was 2012. There were maybe 200 attendees, maybe. And I remember this experience so clearly because I randomly discovered that my favorite bloggers were going to be in Denver. And it was 2 weeks from the time that I figured it out. It was really weird how that happened. And the tickets were $125 or $100. It was super cheap. And they were going to feed us. And I was like, heck yes, I'm so there. I'm going to meet my people and I'm going to fangirl out and they're going to feed me. This is amazing. And it ended up being an incredible experience. 8 years later, it's now, going to be 2020, 8 years later, and I'm still very much involved in the community, a fan of the FinCon space. And while not perfect, because nothing is, not even me, I want to talk about why I love the community, how it's changed, and just what I do now when preparing for an event the size of which this one is. In my opinion, is a marketing conference for people in the personal finance space. These people are marketing content to their communities and changing lives along the way. It is not a money conference. So I was really intrigued by some of the comments in the FinCon community, the Facebook group, where people had this idea that we're wheeling and dealing like old school Wall Street people, and we're wearing suits and it's all stiff and boring. That is not this event. Okay. These people get down. They party like freaking rock stars. They work like ninjas. They are badasses. And I can't state that enough, but it's not an event now where we go and talk money in the way that I think people think. We're not educating people about money. We're talking within the context of FinCon, in my opinion. It is an event where we are learning how to market content to people. It's basically changed. It's a marketing conference. And I think that's very important to think about. Given the event's growth, it's really important, in my view, for attendees to be really thoughtful about how you're approaching going there. Like, don't just show up. You need to show up with a strategy, or else you're just wasting your time and money. You're going to be very overwhelmed. And I think that it's just going to be a shame for you, because you're not going to get out of it what you could. So if you're planning on going to FinCon 2020 or any other large conference, this episode will share a strategy on how to make the event a small event, how to make a large event a small event, grow your brand, and have fun. Yes, it's possible. Again, I've recorded shows somewhat similar to this one, but I wanted to be really transparent about what I'm doing for FinCon 2020, and I hope that this will give you ideas about what you could do for your own brand and your next FinCon experience. And also to own your next FinCon experience. Before we go any further, I want to share this show's sponsor, which is the Money on the Mountain Retreat. If you are looking to talk about money from the financially single woman's perspective, this retreat is for you. It will be October 4th through the 6th here in the beautiful city of Denver, Colorado. There are scholarships available. You can text 44222 and the phrase Money on the Mountain to, again, 44222, Money on the Mountain, to get information about the event or to get on the list. I will mention a couple of resources as well. Three things about self-publishing you need to know. There's a toolkit that I've created for that. I'm the creator of a course called Make Money with eBooks. Sorry, I'm talking really fast. and so before you can make money with eBooks, there's just three things you need to know. Text the following phrase, three things, to 44222. That's THREE things to extension 44222. That way you can kind of learn about self-publishing if you are interested in that. And finally, grab my free mini course, Do It Ugly, today. It will be in the show notes. In order to get to the show notes, you'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/going-to-FinCon2020. Okay, so right now it is September as I am recording this show. I've had, again, a lot of fun watching people react to the event, looking at all the amazing pictures, having my friend Sandy Smith win 3 Plutus Awards, no more Susan Lucci. She earned those awards. I cried watching it on the live stream. It was so awesome. And now people are slowly getting their voices back. They're finally, maybe they need about another week to get their energy back. I know that every time I attend FinCon, it kills me for about 3 weeks. Like, I lose my voice, I'm exhausted, my brain is fried, I have all these things buzzing, and it's like game on. Even though I wasn't there, I was actually still working a strategy, even though I wasn't in attendance. But now we're all on the same playing field, if you will. And I want to talk about how to strategize what your attendance and what your experience will be like for next year if you are planning on going. Now, the first thing is I like to create a vision board. My vision board is just a great way for me to see what I want to have happen in the upcoming year. It does not mean that everything I put on the board will happen when I want it to happen. In fact, I was hoping to attend FinCon this year and that didn't happen. I had some earnings goals that didn't happen. but in my experience with my vision board, usually I just keep putting my goals up there until I work through them and then I take them off the board. So I still will be putting up some very specific goals similar to the ones for 2019. And I think that it should be a very transformative year. Your year-long goals should align with your conference strategy. Basically, your conferences should make sense in terms of your professional ideas and dreams and aspirations. It makes no sense to just go to random ass, you know, conferences just to go. Like, I mean, if you have money like that, great. But for many people, it's a waste of time and money to do that. So what I will share is I've already worked out what events I would like to attend in 2020. Why on earth would I do that so early? Well, first of all, they cost money. So that helps me to figure out what my budget is. It helps me figure out my travel schedule. I don't like to do quick turnarounds for events. I don't like to be traveling here and there just to be doing that. Like, I'm a slow traveler. And so part of what I'm looking at is where the event will be held. Is it a place that I actually want to go? Is it worth my time? You know? And so these are things I look at. I like to manage my time and energy. So that goes back to like where the trips will be and how it'll affect my ability to be productive. One of the reasons why I stopped attending events after 2017, it wasn't just my results. It was my energy level. I had attended 6 events in 2017 and I had no results to speak of and was so frustrating, but I was also really tired. And so I decided that I can't do that moving forward. I want to have results, i.e. make money and grow my brand. But 2, I also had to be careful about how I managed my energy, my focus. I didn't want to get easily distracted, which apparently is a thing with me. So I had to be very careful about how the year would look. And then the other thing, the final thing was, I wanted to make sure that I was able to pitch the events that I wanted to attend and not rush. Like, I didn't want to have February roll up and then one of the events that I want to attend in the summer, they're like, well, it's too late for you to submit a proposal. So that's why right now I already have a list of the events that I'm going to attend. Like, I already know more likely than not, I will go to fewer events than what I have on my list, just because I want to be very careful and very deliberate about, again, time, energy, and not even so much money. Time and energy are a big thing. This is something that I want to make very clear for new attendees as well as returning attendees. You need to have realistic expectations about what the conference can do for you and what you can make happen and what is really a small period of time. There's a reason why I have a year-long strategy. There's only so much I can do in 3 or 4 days. Like, that's just crazy to think that you could transform your life in 3 or 4 days and sustain it. Or that you can meet a person in 3 or 4 days and then, like, that's it. Like, we're besties. Like, that doesn't make sense. Very rarely is that the case. Like, it takes more time to kind of create a long-standing relationship or connection. And that is why, in order to get the results that you want, you have to take action that's going to take longer than 4 days. It's common sense, but I think that all of us basically have common sense, but we get really excited and we start thinking about all these things, but we don't take a step back and think about it like just from logistics and strategy. Some things just take time. A little bit about myself. I've attended 6 FinCons. So it's not like I haven't been to one. I've been to 6. I went to my first one in Denver in 2012. 2013, I went to St. Louis. 2014, New Orleans. 2015, Charlotte. 2016, San Diego. 2017, Dallas. So I've gone to 6. I've attended 6. I was the head of Colorado FinCon for 5 years, and I just recently stepped down right before FinCon 2019. It was just time for me to have a change, and also I felt like it was good for the community to have new energy. I currently run the website and podcast, Michelle is Money Hungry, and the Money on the Mountain Financial Retreat for financially single women, as well as a website about Colorado called Square State and a podcast of the same name. I've spoken on panels or ran sessions at FinCon, Podcast Movement, Denver Startup Week, Outlier Festival, Fuel Your Influence Conference, and more. I love meeting people. I have never met a stranger. And so I find these kinds of events a lot of fun. I am an extrovert. However, I'm an only child extrovert, which means that, like most only children, I enjoy my own company. And so what that means is, similar to ambiverts and introverts, there's just a time where I'm like, bye, see you, gotta go, get on my nerves. Normally, that's not the case that people get on my nerves at the event. I just find that sometimes I just gotta go away. And so I will literally float away. And people will be like, Michelle, where'd you go? I'm like, I just, went to the pool. So I definitely have an experience with FinCon, how it can be, the growth, all of that kind of thing. And this is why I'm doing this show, why I'm doing it early, and I'm going to break down more why I'm doing this show too later. So here's how I make FinCon a small event. One of the things I keep hearing over and over again every freaking year is how big FinCon is. Yes, it's a big event. I started attending when there were only 200 people. How do you think I feel going from 200 to 3,000 people? That's a big change. But I still experience FinCon as a small event, and it's very deliberate. Like, there's a reason why I feel like it's a small event, and it's how I approach it. So here is what I do. I'm yelling at you. Sorry about that. I connect with other personal finance influencers all year long. All year long, because connections need more than 4 days. It's just common sense. Like, all year long, I'm connecting with people. I attend smaller events that are attended by other people in the space or being held by other people in the space. So I did miss the first one I'm going to mention, which is Ski FinCon. This was something I lobbied for years. I wanted that to happen for years as the head of Colorado FinCon, but it just took a lot of organizing and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, Jessica, like, this is a thing I want to do. And I heard you guys might be doing this. And then it came together. So I was super excited about that. Of course, I missed it, which was a bummer, but I hope they have it again in 2020. I will be there. Meetups. So there are often local meetups or interest-based meetups throughout the U.S. And if I'm around or if it's in my town, I go. The Plutus Voices event, they are a sponsor for the Money on the Mountain retreat. They're actually hosting a Plutus Voice event in Denver, October 2nd. And so I will be there. And it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to talk about money with a small group of people, connect and support Harlan Landis and Charlotte Baker as they run their event. And it's just an awesome thing. And it's just a great way to connect and support what they are doing. Pop-up business school. I don't know if this is going to happen again in Longmont, Colorado, but I had the opportunity to hang out with all the Mustachians a couple years ago. It was 2017, actually. It was 2 weeks, a free business school for 2 weeks in Longmont, Colorado. Mr. Money Mustache was so cool because he gave me bus tickets, so I didn't have to pay for the bus. It was a lot of money, like those bus tickets. And I got to spend time with people in the fire space. That was really the first time I spent time with that many people in the fire space. And then other people looking to build businesses without having to spend a lot of money. It was a great experience, and I highly recommend it. If it opens up again and they hold it in the United States again, I strongly recommend it as a resource for you. The Elevate Conference for Financial Influencers of Color, hosted by Sandy Smith. The inaugural year was this year, 2019. Tickets have sold out, actually, for the first 50 tickets. And word on the street is there should be more, so keep your ears to the ground for that one. It's an amazing experience to be with other financial influencers of color. There are certain conversations that are a little more nuanced and different because I'm a person of color, a woman of color. 51% of us end up helping family and friends financially. So just talking from that experience is really important. And that's an event that I plan on supporting and attending. The Statement event for women who are in the financial influencer space by Stephanie O'Connell Rodriguez and Emma Pate. Sorry. I love Pate though, but Pate, they host that. It should be in New York, I think, next year. And that, again, is a wonderful experience for women to talk about the things that we need to talk about in a nuanced way specific to our experience. The Lola Retreat, a woman's personal finance retreat hosted by Melanie Lockhart. She will also be speaking at the Money on the Mountain retreat here in Denver. Since Positive, an incredible experience. I had such an amazing experience there. It's a woman's fire event hosted by Tanya Hester. She does an incredible job. She's so thoughtful about the experience that the women have at that event. And I was very fortunate to attend the inaugural year in Denver, and going to these different events inspired me to create Money on the Mountain. So, by the way, we could have 100 of these events, and that would be a drop in the bucket for the need that is out there. That's like a little side note. The Adventures to FI retreat, hosted by the amazingly meta Jillian Johnsrud of Montana Money Adventures, I believe is the name of her blog. She's so dang cool. And that one was hosted in Montana. I hope she does it again because I want to go the next time. There are a billion other events that people have started to develop and host. Go to them. Go to them. Take on a leadership role. Join a mastermind group. Connect with other FinConners throughout the year who are coming to your town. Disclaimer, because it's 2019 and people are not using their common sense, please do it in a way that is safe. So if you are connecting with a person who is new to you, make sure that people know where you're at, that you're meeting them in a place with lots and lots and lots and lots of people with lights, that you are not sharing drinks or doing anything that could endanger yourself until they've proven that they're not crazy. Are we clear? Good. By taking a year-long approach, this is helpful to you and to me because it does three things. One, it just takes pressure off for what needs to happen during FinCon. I think part of the reason why people get weird about the number of attendees and things like that is they put a lot of pressure on themselves during the actual event. You don't want that to be the case. You want to arrive and the events, the icing on the cake of all the stuff that you did for the previous year. By working a year-long approach, it allows me to build connections, like deep connections with people over an extended period of time. And finally, having a year-long approach enables me to, and you if you do that, to walk into the event already connected on some level with a number of attendees so that you're not feeling like I don't know anyone. And I think that can be hard if you walk in and you just feel like I just feel lonely, I'm nervous, I don't know anybody here. Instead of being like, you know what, I know five people because I've been connecting with them for the whole year and I'm going to at least connect with them and then go from there. At the time of this recording, it's nearing the end of September 2019. I'm actually working on a couple of things as related to FinCon. So these are the things that I actually am working on. This is what I do every year after FinCon or after Podcast Movement or after any other large event that I attend. I ask myself the following questions. What is my intent for the next event? Like the next FinCon that I attend, what's my intent? Like what do I want? Like, why am I going? What's the point? What's the purpose? What do I want to make happen before October 2020? What's the goal that I have for each month or goals? What's the experience that I want to be having? How do I want to feel? Like, so I kind of get really deep and meta about this. What results do I want to show up at that event having achieved? How do I plan on experiencing the event? So one thing I've decided is I don't want roommates next year. I just want to be in my room. I want to throw all my swag on the bed next to mine and just like catalog it. I typically travel with an empty suitcase to FinCon because there's so much stuff that I end up getting. And I just want to have my space this upcoming year. I've decided. And what that means is that affects the expense. I've decided that I want to stay in California for 3 weeks. So I'd like to do a week before FinCon and stay in Venice Beach or Santa Monica. Then I'll stay for a week in Long Beach and then a week afterwards in Manhattan Beach or El Segundo. Again, now that I know this, I can start planning my budget and kind of know what I need to consider in terms of like where to stay. Do I leverage Airbnb, the Airbnb affiliate program? Like, what do I do in order to make this affordable? So that's what I work on. For 2020, this is what I'm working on personally. Like, these are my stated goals. I want to grow my brand visibility via podcast interviews. I really love podcasts and I love talking, which is not surprising to you. I want to grow my email list. I will be sharing resources during these podcast interviews with the intention of growing my list. I actually would like to do a minimum of 100 interviews between now and next year. Sarah Lee Kane actually was my inspiration for that. She was my roomie at Podcast Movement this year. She's a friend of mine. She's awesome. And I really think that most people will not do the hard work such as that. Like, that's not hard, but it's a lot of energy to do 100 shows and show up 100% for each one of them. But she's had a great year as a result because people know who the heck she is and she works hard and she won a Plutus Award. Anywho, I want to grow my passive income. So right now I'm starting to get very excited because I'm starting to make a steady income each month, and that income is passive. So I'm not including any side hustles that I may or may not be doing. I'm not including any freelance writing or anything like that in my passive income, in the blog income reports that I share. And so now I'm really working on growing that income moving forward. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and that is part of what I'm working on for 2020. You need to be very vocal about your attendance to the event so that people know that you're there. I was kind of on the fence because I was so tired from Podcast Movement. I had an amazing experience. I actually will be doing a show about Podcast Movement in October and just my experience with that. I confused people because I wasn't clear that I wasn't going to be there. So I actually got emails later like, Michelle, were you there? Because it's big enough that you could have missed me, right? And I was like, no, I wasn't there. I was actually here in Denver. But you need to be very clear that you're going to be there so that people can connect with you if they want to. By the way, when I go to FinCon, say for example, I wasn't doing this 3-week thing that I'm planning on for next year, I would actually be there for a week. Typically, I go for a week. And the reason why is a lot of the bigger influencers that I know are people that I want to connect with, they're there early as well. And it's just 10 times easier to connect with them before the event starts. They'll be speaking, they'll be running panels, they'll be running sessions, they'll be hanging out with other people that they haven't seen for the previous year. And so, or just with people that are friends of theirs that they see throughout the year, and it's just another opportunity. So I actually tend to make a point of staying for at least 1, 2, or 3 days longer than the event, because it's just easier to connect with people and it takes pressure off. If you're wondering if you should stay until Sunday of the event, yes. Every year I hear of people who are like, oh, I left Saturday. I'm like, why the hell would you do that? It makes no sense. You need to leave on Sunday. The only reason when it would make sense, if you're a mom nursing your baby, you got little ones. I love kids, by the way. So if you have kids, that's like the only reason I could see where you would leave early, to be honest. But I'm telling you now, in September 2019, unless you have a newborn that you could actually bring with you, but that would be a lot of germs. And I would honestly, if you bring a newborn, I'd have to cuddle it because I love babies, but don't bring your newborn. But, you know, unless you've got a real small infant, or it's hard to have your kids away from you, plan on being there longer. They do provide childcare. You do have to sign up for it. So if you need to bring your kiddos, please do. Just make sure that you're aware that you have to sign up for that service, okay? That's very important. You have to sign up for that. So I don't want you to be like, because I have kids, I can't go. That's not true. They have childcare. Okay. So spend some time thinking about your goals. Meet new people. So goals could include meeting new people, meet online besties in person, elevate your brand, sell your course, coaching, books, etc. Meet with your course affiliates. Actually, that's important if you're trying to really do a launch later on. Do a launch of your books, course, coaching, etc. Meet with and collaborate with brands. Connect with the community that you've been building. Run a workshop, create a panel, or speak at the conference. Heads up, if you want to do that, run a workshop, create a panel, or speak at the conference, March is when FinCon will be taking proposals. Do not let it be March and be scrambling around. I will actually start reaching out to the people I want on my panel, because I think I'm going to propose a couple of panels and then a talk as well. I'm going to reach out to those people in January. It's going to be locked down, ready to go. And then that way, the first day of March, first day when proposals are being accepted, I just submit it. We're good. We're done. So just heads up, March is when proposals will be submitted. They'll start taking proposals. If one of your goals is to connect with a potential new business coach or business support person, like a virtual assistant, that should be on your list. Host a successful meetup during the event. Win an award, professional recognition such as a Plutus Award. There are things that you should be doing from now until then in order to make that happen. And this one I'm really serious about, find love. There have been many couples that have come out of FinCon. like more than you probably realize. So if you're looking for love, that's a great place for it. So again, that should be on your agenda. Look cute. And attaining these goals requires that you have a strategy and a consistent focus on it. This is a big one. Do you want to make money as a result of your attendance at your next event or at FinCon? Are you an affiliate of a well-known course that will be going on sale during the event? Do you understand the cookie duration for that course? So for example, if I were doing a launch during FinCon 2020 for my course, Make Money with eBooks, my course actually has a 30-day cookie duration, which means I would probably be connecting with my affiliates 30 days prior to FinCon, or a little earlier than that, probably like 40 to 50 days prior to FinCon, so that they would know that the course is going on sale, strategies that are effective, that kind of thing. So if there's a course that you're an affiliate for, reach out to the person who runs the course to see what their plans are so that you can strategize content, podcast content, blog content, video content related to the course that you're an affiliate for. What kind of content are you sharing that could be helpful to attendees? Is it SEO rich? This podcast episode is not an accident. I made a point of actually posing the question going to FinCon 2020 because I believe that in terms of SEO, it's going to pop up pretty high in the rankings. I'm actually ranked pretty high for going to FinCon in Google, and it's because of this strategy. It's not an accident. It's not an accident, people. So that is it for the show. I really hope to see you next year in Long Beach, California. I'm so excited. Since I live in Denver, it's actually a little bit closer than going all the way to DC, so that works out wonderfully. Please do have a strategy for these bigger events that you're attending. They don't have to feel so big, but they will feel big and unattainable if you just arrive in October of next year hoping to make things happen. Don't do that. Have a plan, have a strategy, take control of the situation, and you too will have an incredible, incredible time. I hope you're having a beautiful day. I wanted to also thank the following sponsors and speakers for the Money on the Mountain retreat: the Plutus Foundation, Harlan Landis, and Charlotte Baker. Thank you so much. The Financial Gym, Shannon McLay, is changing lives one financial conversation at a time. Cassandra Dason, thank you so much. You're such a dear friend. I appreciate you so, so much. Jessica Garbarino, Every Single Dollar, talking about women's money and all that she does. Emily Guy Birkin, who's just such an incredible person, a wonderful supporter. Jason Vitug from Frugal, he has a new book coming out. I cannot wait to read it. Ryan Carey from Hashtag Colorado, supporting Colorado-based attendees. Melanie Lockhart, the founder of the Lola Retreat and author of Dear Debt. Felicia Jones, TEDx speaker and creator of the speaking service I Find You Close. So if you're looking to build your speaking brand, get that service. Ginny Bayless, who is a local Colorado real estate investor making money through the Burr method of real estate investing: buy, renovate, rent, repeat. And Miss Danielle Desir, who is amazing, the founder of the Woke Podcast Community and the Thought Card website. She has over 2,000 women of color in that podcasting community, uplifting our voices one show at a time. Thank you guys so much, and have a beautiful rest of your day.